are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Matthew 26 verse 40, the Bible says, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Everybody say watch. Say watch and pray. Watch and pray lest you end in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I really do believe that the church is the nation's hope. The church must be awakened from its slumber and its sleep. This giant church. Revival must become an urgent priority for every believer. Not just a theological or historical curiosity. Its promotion must become the task of every pulpit. Jesus came to bring revival and reformation, which starts by prayer. Its implementation must become the responsibility of every believer. For this to happen, listen, desperate intercessors must prevail upon God to provoke within his people a deep, widespread dissatisfaction with a religious status quo. In other words, we can't just do things as normal, because the height of insanity is to do the same thing and to expect a different result. So if things aren't changing, it's because we're not doing what we can do, because we have the victory in Christ. And I dare to say the watchmen are not on the wall, because if the watchmen are on the wall, the atmosphere in the house will be the atmosphere of revival, every church. When watchmen are asleep, the enemy will infiltrate the work of God. So listen to me very carefully, because many people don't understand the prophetic ministry, prophetic prayer, prophetic worship. How many of you remember the half-night prayers we had? That's now being decentralized. We cannot build this ministry without the prophetic edge happening in our church all the time. So the local church is kept safe through prophetic intercession. Notice I said prophetic, anointed, insightful intercession that discerns the future, discerns the enemy before the enemy operates. Prophetic discernment, prophetic praise, prophetic preaching, prophetic teaching, and prophetic worship. What is it to be prophetic? Prophetic is to see the future before it happens. It's to discern the enemy before he infiltrates. It's to prevent things before it happens. It's to be on the cutting edge. So the church is best defended by intercession. In the Old Testament, these people that protected cities were watchmen on the wall. You know those towers that they built? There would be watchmen that would stand, and they would look every day. In the morning watch, the evening watch, they would watch to see and look for any sign of the enemy. Now, I understand we're not devil conscious. We're Holy Spirit conscious. But when we see the footprints of the enemy, we better act. And we act in prayer, not out of faith, because we have the power and we have the authority. We don't roll over. We don't play dead. We don't become inactive. We use the very weapons that God gave us to defuse the plans of the enemy, to stop the devil in his tracks. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. So without the revelation of the intercessory aspect of ministry, a local church will suffer continuous attacks from the enemy. Many pastors go through difficult seasons in their lives because they do not have the intercessors ministry in place. Many altars are empty because they are not intercessors at the altars who groan and travail and labor for people to be born again in the body of Christ. Let me make this very clear. Not all ministry is glamorous. Least of all, the intercessors ministry. The intercessors ministry is the ministry where you lay your life down for other people. The Bible says no greater love has anyone than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus, our example, who stood between the living and the dead. Jesus, our example, the greatest intercessor of all, who still lives today making intercession for you and me. So the watchman on the wall in the Old Testament was always there to alert the people of any attempt of the enemy to attack or infiltrate the city, or in our case, the church, the home. I'll never forget, we were skiing in Austria many, many years ago. Angelique, before she was married, I was sleeping, tired after a day skiing. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with this tremendous burden. And I knew that the devil had a plot against one of my children, knew it. As clearly as anything, I knew the devil was going to try and kill one of my children. Cannot explain it to you. I didn't have to think about getting out of bed. It was like lightning I was out of bed, and I hit the ground. And I started praying like I had never prayed before. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and it was like a burden got a hold of me. I was crying out to God, praying. Noretta jumped out of bed. She just said, what's wrong with you? I said, the devil wants to kill one of our children. And she got a hold of it, and she began to pray. And we prayed. Must have been 2 or 3 hours until that burden was lifted. I'm not saying all disaster can be averted, but I can say if we live more attentively to the Holy Spirit, we can avert a lot of disaster in our lives. Amen. Many times we are so busy that we're not standing on the walls. I'll never forget one morning when the building was only that building, 1,500 a seater. Those years I was still riding between Lady Brand, hallelujah, and Bloemfontein. Pastor Mark Brunk, who's now in heaven, was with me. We were praying, and we were on our way to Lady Brand. And the Holy Ghost says to me, don't go. Well, I use the word of God. But I learned you cannot use the word of God against a word from God. You cannot use the logos over a rhema from God. You have to walk in the Spirit. So I'm overriding the word of God by using the word of God against God. How many of you know you cannot use the word of God against God? You use the word of God against the devil. You submit to the word of God, the rhema and the logos, the revealed word and the written word of God. So we were praying up a storm, climbed in the car, drove to Lady Brand. The further I drove, the more I got this urgency in my heart, turn around. Well, I've driven that road hundreds of times. No reason to be afraid to go there. But I just had this warning. Turn around. It got stronger and stronger. Eventually, just out of sight of Bloemfontein, I said to Pastor Mark, I said, we can't go. He said, what do you mean we can't go? I said, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to let me go. The Holy Spirit is not letting up. The Holy Spirit is not letting up. I know we cannot go. So we turned around. People were waiting for the meeting. But you say, well, Pastor, what happened? I don't know. But I knew that God stopped me. And I thank God that we were praying to avert something that possibly would have gone wrong. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. I said, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Hallelujah. And if tragedy or disaster struck your life, don't sit here now and feel all guilty, okay? And say, well, maybe I didn't hear God. No, it's not as simple as that. Job was walking with God and the enemy attacked him. Certain times we do not see the plans of the devil. We find ourselves in the fire and then God walks us through the fire. But other times we can stop the fire. We can stop the attack. There's no golden rule. Are you listening to me? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, he says that we are not unaware or ignorant of the schemes and the devices of the enemy. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. I told you this morning. And again, we don't glorify the devil, but we understand we have an enemy. Amen. People say we don't talk about the devil. Right, we don't talk about the devil. Like in the army, we didn't talk about the enemy. But if we saw the tracks of the enemy, we knew the enemy was busy working. So we live Christ conscious, but we're aware that we have an enemy. Amen. And we are yet to enforce his defeat. We are yet, the Bible says, to submit to God and to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. The Bible says in the New Testament 3 times that you are to resist the devil. Amen. Not ignore the devil. Resist the devil. Stand sober. Stand vigilant. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual weakness in high places. We fight on 4 levels, and God has given us the authority. And the way we defuse the plans of the enemy is through prayer. Prayer is the weapon God gave us to defuse the plans of the devil and to open the hearts of people to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. So before you post about President Jacob Zuma, I hope you prayed before you posted. Shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Come on. He says, first of all, before you gossip, first of all, pray for your pastor before you have your pastor for dinner. Then you won't have him for dinner. Amen. So we're not going to criticize, we're going to pray. It says, first of all, prayer, supplication, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. When we pray for leadership, God will have his way in the lives of leadership. And let me tell you, it's no problem for God to remove a person. It's no problem for God to promote a person, whether it's in business, whether it's in church, whether it's in government, it's no problem. When the church prays, God will have his way in Jesus' name. Say amen. Hallelujah. It says we are to pray for kings, all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. People do a lot of things that are acceptable in their sight, but it's not acceptable in God's sight. Prayer is acceptable in God's sight. Praying for leadership, praying for all men, the Bible says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I said it this morning, any person that sees Jesus for who he is must not be of a sound mind not to accept Jesus Christ. What stops people from believing? What stops people from following Jesus Christ? It's a spirit of deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the people, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts and they be converted. So it's like a veil over the minds of people, amen? A veil of darkness, a demonic veil that stops people from believing. Prayer removes the veil. That's why God says, first of all, prayers, intercessions, supplication, giving of thanks be made for all men. We pray against the powers of darkness. We pray that the light of the glorious gospel may shine forth. I mean, I went to church for how many years and I never got saved. Then one day I walked into church and I got saved. What happened? The veil was lifted. I saw Jesus. Nicodemus was seeking truth for years until he saw Jesus Christ. So prayer causes people to see. Amen? So if we don't pray, the veil remains. Although Jesus reconciled the whole world isn't saved. Amen? If we all just sit back and think God's going to do it, then we are misinformed, because God's already done it. God's going to do what he has to do. He's already reconciled the whole world. He died for the whole world. He paid the price for every human being's sin. So how can people not follow this wonderful Jesus if they really see who Jesus is and they really understand what Jesus did? Well, a veil of deception that stops people from believing. Are you listening? So we have the authority through prayer and intercession to lift that veil, to open the hearts of people. That's why I said this morning, every home cell must become a praying cell. Prayer must be taken serious in cells. Every home cell leader, shout a shout of praise and give the Lord a praise. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, I challenge every home cell leader. Your home cell is going to pray. You're going to become a praying home cell like never in Jesus' name. Get people baptized in the Holy Ghost in the home cells, but you're not going to water prayer down in the home cells. Come on, you are going to become a praying home cell. Shout amen. So prayer is the key to see our altars filled. Prayer is the key if we want to see a youth revival, a Holy Ghost invasion. Prayer is the key if we want to see a new generation of church planters emerge and go with the fire of God, because these people have to be birthed. Converts have to be birthed. Christ has to be formed in the hearts of people through travailing and groaning. It is a spiritual ministry that causes the hearts of people to be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Paul says, my little children, for whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So a lot of people want to disciple people, but they don't pray for those people. The major way you disciple people is by praying for people. That's why the Bible says the pastor, the priest, should lie between the porch and the altar and cry, save your people, O God, save your people. Stand against the wiles of the devil in the lives of your people. You are the shepherd. You have the staff. You get rid of the enemy. You deal with deception in the minds and in the hearts of your people. You use the authority God gave you. You stand as a watchman over your zone, over your church. You get on the high place and you exercise the God-ordained authority that you have to prevent the work of the devil in the lives of your people. It's not good enough to say so-and-so backslid. Well, what did you do? How did you fight the devil? How did you intervene? How did you intercede? Not I went and drank coffee with him. Coffee will not bring him to his senses. But prayer and intercession will bring him to his senses in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not a very popular ministry because it costs you your life. It's much nicer to say, let's have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, Joan. and say, well, I haven't seen you in church for 3 weeks. Well, I'm busy, busy, busy. But, well, the truth is he's not busy, he's deceived. But how's he going to get rid of that veil of deception? Not by you putting guilt upon him. You have to lift that veil through prayer. He comes to his senses, falls in love with Jesus all over again, like the prodigal son. He came to his senses. It's spiritual. Amen. You want revival in the schools? You need to pray. Get one person to pray in Central, one person to pray in Afrikaans Word, one person to pray in Pretoria Girls High, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, somebody walked to me in gym yesterday and said, Pastor, if everybody can just hear the series you did on Christ, the solid rock we stand, we will not have all these problems all the time. Because let's just stop going back. Forget what the preacher preaches and just go back all the time to what you believe before Christ. Let's begin to celebrate who we are in Christ and celebrate humanity and celebrate our togetherness and celebrate our region, that there's one human race and we all come from that same blood. We all come from Adam. Adam was the son of God, and that means you and I are sons and daughters of God. Come on. It doesn't matter what your skin pigmentation is. It doesn't matter whether you have hair or whether you have less hair like me, straight hair or curly hair. I wish I had curly hair. Now I've got no hair. Okay? Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 66, the Bible says in verse 8, who has heard such a thing, who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? I just want to say this to every Christian young person. Get a purpose, please. Because you're all scampering around, running after purposes which is not eternal. Get a purpose. Amen. I mean, now people want to fight for the old stem. Then people want to fight for the new stem. Then people want to fight. We just want to looking for something. And you have Christ. You have the cause of Christ. Now we just want to fight one another all the time. That we're doing the devil's work. Just get a life in Christ. And stop being contentious. It's getting quiet in this place. Praise God. I have to bite my tongue sometimes. It says, as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. As soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Zion is the church. As soon as Zion was in labor. Like the expression is like a woman in birth pains before a child is born. Before anything is born, there has to be a season of prayer. It's not a work of the flesh. It is a work with the Holy Spirit. Let me make it very clear. Because some people think they don't have to pray, they don't have to believe, they don't have to do anything. Now the Bible says by grace through faith. Everything you receive by God is by grace. You can't earn it, you can't deserve it. It's because of what Jesus did, but you receive it by faith. Everything you receive is by grace through faith. 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 By grace. By grace through faith. By grace Jesus did it. You can add nothing to it. By faith, your part. By faith. Faith in what Jesus did. Faith in the blood. Faith in your redemption. Faith in the finished work. Faith in your righteousness. Faith in your healing. Faith in what Jesus obtained for you. By grace through faith. So you can't be inactive and say, well, Jesus did it. All I have to do, nothing. Really? Then why did Paul write the whole New Testament? A whole generation is being paralyzed. When they face a crisis, they don't know how to get heaven down. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to believe God. I thank God I was birthed in a school of prayer. Once a month, every Friday, we would pray from 6 to 6. 6 in the evening till 6 in the morning, 12 hours, non-stop. Non-stop. Praying tongues for 12 hours. Non-stop. You get most people to pray now 3 minutes, their battery is flat. They have no spiritual muscle. Zero. Can't live 1 kilogram. Zero. 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 Amen. Zero. 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 Flabby. Flabby Christians. Flabby. Spiritually unfit. Right? So God says in verse 9, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? So God said, I'm going to play games with you. If I call you to the altar of prayer and you pray and you do what I've called you to do, then I will cause the release. I will bring revival. I will bring the breakthrough. I will release if you do your part. When prayer decays, revival delays. Both passion and vision are born and maintained by prayer. When we fail in prayer, we will fail everywhere. We will lose our momentum, our revival that God means for us to have. Hear me clearly. That prayer shapes history. Prayer opens visuals, opens the heavens. Prayer lifts the veil from people's eyes to see Jesus. Prayer binds the enemy's power and renders him harmless. Prayer prevents Satan's work from manifesting. James chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice the Bible says the effective and fervent prayer, not the by the way prayer, effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man. You are righteous because of Jesus Christ, makes tremendous power available. The Amplified Bible says dynamic and it's working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. There was nothing special about him. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. What's the power of prayer? The Bible says Elijah was just like us. And one man changed the climate. One man praying, one woman praying, can change the atmosphere in a city, can change the climate in a university, can change the atmosphere in a family. One praying Christian and God are a majority. Oh, come on. Shout amen there in Pretoria. You're in Bloemfontein in Jesus' name. Come on. Pretoria, hallelujah. When I came to Bloemfontein, God said to me, this will be a house of revival. Isaiah chapter 60, the Bible says our walls will be called salvation and our gates will be praised. That's why we have been so adamant to make sure that we keep the spirit of praise alive in our church, because praise diffuses the plans of the enemy. Praise is a voice of war that God gave you on the battleground. So any form of revival requires prayer. And I want to say this again. Prayer is not a work of the flesh, but prayer is laboring with the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit himself also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, or takes hold together with us against our weaknesses, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Imagine. How many prayers are not being prayed because we're not hooking up with the Holy Ghost and praying those prayers, praying those powerful prayers to release people from prison, to release people into the presence of God. Pastors, hear me clearly. Across South Africa, those of you that can't see me, you can all hear me. Prayer is everything. We need to start a whole new campaign of prayer in our churches, in every meeting, in every structure. Rather than teaching, 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 I suggest you get your leaders to hit the deck and they begin to pray. Get the overseers to pray in the Holy Ghost. Get the supervisors to pray in the Holy Ghost. Get a spirit of prayer going. Get yourself on fire with a spirit of prayer, because prayer will change things. Come on. That building in the north will be too small. That building in Pretoria, we will not be able to contain the youth revival with prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Shout amen in the name of Jesus. When we pray together, we will see a move of God that will shake this whole world. Everybody pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me, for cleansing me with your precious blood. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for a fresh start. I give myself to you. I surrender all to you. Thank you that I can never be the same again. I'm forgiven. I'm justified. I am a child of God. From tonight, I will follow you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord forever. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.